This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Bonuses fell 17% last year, according to new data from the New York State Comptroller. But despite the decline, Wall Street bonuses are 1,000% higher than they were in 1985. According to the Institute for Policy Studies, a left-leaning research center, the federal minimum wage has increased about 116% during this same time period. The group says if the minimum wage had grown at the same pace as Wall Street bonuses, fast food and other low-wage workers would earn a baseline wage of $33.51 an hour.
Justice Department to decide how much of the Mueller report we can see.
So there you go. There you go. And then again, to help folks get to the bottom of it, and I don't want to spoon feed. That's not the idea here. It's to encourage folks to go look into things. Hopefully some of these terms, if they're not familiar, then it encourages folks to go find out for themselves. So Fordism is a bad thing. Being a Tofflerite prosumer is not a good thing. A Bernaysian, you know, George Bernard Shaw, producer consumer, I wouldn't advocate it. And, you know, getting to the bottom of what we just heard, raising the minimum wage is not a good thing. As we've discussed on this broadcast, it's the Federal Reserve. It's central banking, stupid, so to speak. It's the inflation that is caused by this so-called fractional reserve system. Keynes in the Economic Consequences of the Peace wrote, by a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. And Greenspan, the guy who presided over more inflation than the world has ever seen, back in 1966, Golden Economic Freedom, he wrote, in the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. That's the problem. The other thing that I was going to say briefly on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders, and all of these folks, the Business Insider, Bob Bryan had a great article in the Business Insider earlier this month titled, a new survey shows that zero top U.S. economists agreed with the basic principles of an economic theory supported by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And the article does a brilliant job of explaining how the rich, and there are some related articles, but the rich don't get taxed because it's not income that is being taxed. And so they find ways, and this is a point that guys like Robert Kiyosaki have made over and over for the last 20 years, to try to get to the common folk, so to speak, in America and say, look, these people learn things the rest of us don't learn. They try to keep that, try to occlude that information. And that, I'm talking from a very pedestrian standpoint, not conspiratorial. Because naturally, if they can create a sort of monopoly for themselves on knowledge that produces a payout, that's what they're doing. And so because of that, there are certain things that most people don't learn that they should know. And So these, you know, certain people create tax havens and things for themselves. They don't pay taxes. And so to think that you can tax the rich, only it ends up being a trickle-down tax that's passed on to the middle and lower class, and particularly those that can't afford it, that's what actually happens in these programs. And again, Hayek was right. They're, you know, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's of the world are genuine and sincere, but she's naive and she's uninformed. She's certainly not an economist. So there's that. There's trouble with all of these, you know, so-called economic theories that are advanced by socialists. They just don't quite ever work for obvious reasons. Bob, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Ford raised the income from $2.25 a day to $5 a day. So there's that. That's almost doubling. That's more than doubling the income. And I know you understand this. I was not trying to defend any of them. I just think that when I listen to right-wing radio, all I hear is, oh, Bernie Sanders, he's crazy. Oh, you'll see, she's crazy. You know, instead of evaluating what they say and breaking it down,
Bob,
and finding
something
that's in common.
Please don't shout.
Okay, I'm driving. I'm on the lunch break. I'm driving back to work. You know, we work 9 hours a day. I don't know if this is your only job or anything, but sorry, buddy. I'm in the car right now, and I got you on speakerphone.
Bob,
the reality
that doesn't
is,
mean you need to shout and be condescending, okay?
Well, you were condescending because you said I'm trying to extol the socialism. I think you're trying to extol the virtues of corporate capitalism, then,
no,
by not speaking of it and leaving life by omission.
That's
well, then don't accuse me of that.
I think we're coming to the end of this conversation, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're done.
All right. It's always interesting. I think we are, I don't know, maybe I'm imagining it, but I think Bob and I are making inroads. Who knows? We'll get it figured out. We'll be able to have some kind of a civilized conversation at some point. Who knows? The other article that I mentioned but couldn't find was My Kids Won't Stop Gaslighting Me. That's a trending article over at The Concourse, Deadspin, The Concourse. And that was a couple of days ago. Yeah. My Kids Won't Stop Gaslighting Me. It's trending. Why do you suppose that is? People don't know what gaslighting is. And then all of a sudden, it's a cool thing, you know, kind of like the video games that have kids doing, you know, augmented reality and shooting each other in first person, you know, shooter games with their phone. What could possibly go wrong? So I suppose I should mention that the article, it was just sort of a contextual reference point, and I should mention that it's one of those NSFW kinds of things. You know, it's not necessarily, there's some language and stuff that's, you know, I would just call it inappropriate. Anyway, getting to the bottom of things, that would be a good idea. Getting rid of the Federal Reserve and central banking altogether would, you know, in that iteration, the thing that Carol Quigley talked about that is used as a mechanism to start wars, control governments. And it's a maxim of history that this fractional, so-called fractional reserve, which is an oxymoron, fractional reserve system, is cozy bedfellows with war. War always goes along with it, because if you're cheating people, you're going to have a gun to enforce your fraud at some point, in simple terms. That's how it works. So Carol Quigley in Tragedy and Hope told us that after investigating the secret documents of international industrialists, the Anglo-American establishment, as it were, yes, Virginia, there is a conspiracy to control the world through the central banking mechanism, and the apex of the system is the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements. And, you know, it seems to work pretty well. I've mentioned it many times, the Group of 30. Is a group that no one talks about, Group of 30, group30.org. Go there and see all kinds of folks. This is where, you know, again, I mentioned it many times, but the Volcker Rule that was implemented here. Remember Barack Obama? They bragged about it on the homepage of the Group of 30. A little YouTube video, Barack Obama saying, "This handsome fellow to my left here." It was a steering committee of the Group of 30. Five people. The committee was chaired by Paul Volcker. International economists cooked up the Volcker Rule policy, and it was implemented here. And when it reminds me of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. It's that sort of thuggish economic and monetary policy that's sort of inflicted on countries around the world, but they do it in an Italian suit and with a silver tongue, so it's, it's Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. These guys are smart. They take my advice. And what you see is the trickle-down application there. So the G30 talks to G8, G20. If the other nations of the world, if there still are such a thing, nation-states now. Bleh. If they want to exist, really, and not get bombed back to the Stone Age, then they'll go along to get along. And so they'll follow the diktats, basically, that are promulgated through the, G8, G20, etc. And so then it rolls out to the other 190 plus nations of the world. If you want to participate in the modern economic program and benefit from the credit monopoly, never mind that it'll just cost you everything, it'll cost you your soul, all of your natural resources, the labor of your self and your posterity, never mind that. Anyway, getting rid of that system would do us many favors. So it's not the minimum wage that's the problem. It's certainly not capitalism, because we haven't seen capitalism in America for a long, long time. We've seen variations or derivations, and it's an amalgamation of the worst of everything, perhaps best identified in the term communitarianism. It's all getting rolled up. It's this snowball that rolls downhill, only it's not really a snowball. It's a snowball of a different color that keeps... it's an amalgamation that seems to adhere to whatever is the worst thing for the common man. This gets back to the discussion of truth. Again, that quote from J. Edgar Hoover, the average person is, most people, it's difficult to even conceptualize the notion that, what Philip Zimbardo proved, basically. But, J. Edgar Hoover put it, the individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to the realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy that must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent. And on that note, let's go back to the truth thing. It's interesting. Day after day, I have a few things that I intend to get to the bottom of and just never quite do. This discussion of truth is it. Let me see. Another article as we go this direction, or a few articles or whatever. gosh, where are those? The in the wake of and the young man who was just identified the third, you know, third time as enemy action, right? CNN, police identify second Stoneman Douglas student who died in apparent suicide. Apparent suicide. So speaking of all of that, remember when we saw, oh gosh, what is that Israeli group that, I think that's in this article, isn't it? No, that's in another article. What was the name of that group that was that just showed up magically? So is it Calvin Desir or Desire? How do you pronounce that? He's a young man and, you know, interesting apparent suicide, but Broward County Medical Examiner's Office has not ruled on an official cause of death, police added. It's just weird. You know, my mind asks questions like, Coral Springs police officer Tyler Reek confirmed the boy's identity on Wednesday. Okay, so who is he? Is he the PIO or and who is he? And listening to John Draper is, again, it's just weird. He's the featured clip, the director of the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's all weird, in my opinion, but these are sort of anecdotal observations. I don't want to get too far afield here. So the this is really where I'm going with this. The Bradenton Herald: scores of therapists gear up, give free services after two Parkland suicides. That is 3 days ago. This is the article that has the, which one is it? They have all these speakers. Strength to Strength. Natalie Gutman, Israeli terrorist attack survivor representing Strength to Strength. Talked about that last year in the wake of whatever happened at Parkland. So this event, scores of therapists gear up, give free services after two Parkland suicides. Have you noticed that it just doesn't, it's like a, you know, it's the thing with no substance. It's the gift that never pays off or whatever. It's the nothing burger. I want to say that, but I don't really. This so-called help, psychological services. Anybody that knows anything about psychoanalysis, you know, people say, why wouldn't you talk to a therapist? Well, first of all, let's define terms. That language, that terminology is disingenuous. No offense to anyone in that field, but it really is. Go back and read Freud, and I'm not okay with that. Anybody who extols the virtues of that kind of stuff is not someone I want poking around in my head. So that really is sort of the bottom line there. And why, you know, if we're so concerned about mental health and, you know, helping the children and helping survivors and victims of tragedies, why aren't things getting better? I just saw an article, what was it, the suicide epidemic or something. Suicide rate is much higher than it was. Where is that? I'll find that. Much higher than it was like 40 years ago. I don't know where that is, but you know, Washington Post: three tragic deaths reverberate across U.S. amid steady rise in suicides. That's what it was. So if we're so concerned about this mental health issue and we've done so much and we're so vigilant, you know, Dr. Martin Seligman, the Mengele of our day, is helping the troops with you know, the pioneer of learned helplessness is helping the troops to combat the epidemic of suicide in the military. What could possibly go wrong putting the father of learned helplessness in charge of that? Why are things not better? I ask rhetorically, obviously, and we'll talk about why specifically. It's because it's all based on a fallacious premise, a dishonest, disingenuous premise. We'll talk more when we come back.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Take that awful quiz in your back. life lasts.
Welcome back. All right, so Bradenton Herald, scores of therapists gear up, give free services after two Parkland suicides, and again, Washington Post, three tragic deaths reverberate across U.S. amid steady rise in suicides. Why? If we're so concerned, we're so aware, we're so vigilant, how is this happening? And the obvious, you know, bottom line in all of this, when we come for full circle from start to finish, it's Aldous Huxley's Ultimate Revolution speech back in, what was that, 62? There is a method probably on the horizon. We probably need to include that in the archives. Aldous Huxley, Ultimate Revolution. Written about this for a long time. At Berkeley, right? Yeah. So, how exactly did he put that? He said, yeah, we'll include the link. It seems to me that the nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now faced is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques. Remember, this is the guy who wrote in the 30s about soma. Do we have soma now? Pharmacological method. What a coincidence, but maybe not. Maybe it was all planned that way, happened on purpose. That we are in the process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy who have always existed and presumably always will always exist to get people to love their servitude. This, he said, is, it seems to me, the ultimate in malevolent revolutions, shall we say. And this is a problem which has interested me for many years, right? Because the Huxley family is a generational old school bad guy family. This, the enjoyment of servitude, he said, well, this process is, as I say, has gone on for many years, and he's become more interested in it, which is weird. You can get people to consent to the state of affairs in which they are living, the state of servitude, state of being, having their differences ironed out, and being made amenable to mass production methods on the social level. You can do this, then you are likely to have a much more stable and lasting society. That's exactly the kind of sentiment that Ted Kaczynski was referring to in his manifesto. This is what these guys are trying to do. It's probably going to be horrific. Who knows? In the end, it might work out, but who's going to be left to know? And that's a paraphrasing. Anyway, why are things so horrible if we're so vigilant about mental health and suicide prevention, etc.? It's that old, you know, war on causes more of kind of thing. But to the point, I've mentioned it recently, None Dare Call It Treason, John Stormer, 1964, Chapter 9, Mental Health. The pretense, the quote, Dr. G. Brock Chisholm, first head World Federation of Mental Health, the pretense is made that to do away with the right and wrong, to do away with right and wrong would produce uncivilized people, immorality, lawlessness, and social chaos. The fact is that most psychiatrists and psychologists and other respected people have escaped from moral chains and are able to think freely. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As those of us who are familiar with Mr. Huxley's works well know, this is a subject with which he has been concerned for quite a period of time. Mr. Huxley will make a presentation of approximately half an hour, followed by some brief discussions and questions by the two panelists sitting to my left, Ms. Lillian Rivlin and Mr. John Post. Mr. Huxley.
Thank you.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to say that the conference at Santa Barbara was not directly concerned with the control of the mind. That was conference. There have been two of them.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour of today's broadcast. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So... mental health. the question, you know, how do we get here if we're so concerned, we're so vigilant, we're so aware, it's such a front of mind, I guess pun intended, sort of issue. Why are things getting worse? Because, again, as the Washington Post article, three tragic deaths reverberate across U.S. amid steady rise in suicides, as that article points out, from the outset, Americans are increasingly likely to die by their own hand. And, you know, just as a pretext, I would say, I guess it's not surprising when all over television every day you see advertisements for products that say side effects may include death. Suicidal thoughts or actions. I mean, if we're really concerned, isn't that an epidemic? If one in 11,000 or so in, you know, or 22 or however many is an epidemic, then if this staggering rise in suicides in America is if that's happening, isn't that an epidemic? And aren't these products a concern, first and foremost? Speaking of Aldous Huxley, in 1999, about 29,000 people in the United States killed themselves, and by 2017, the toll had grown to more than 47,000, a significant rise even when adjusted for the growing population. In recent days, three of those deaths have shocked the nation. Yeah, well, we've talked about that. So, again, I mean, why, if we're so concerned about this, then maybe we shouldn't push products, side effects of which may include death. Maybe, I mean, maybe that's, you know, maybe that's just crazy talk. But so, none dare call it treason, chapter 9, mental health. John Stormer opens quoting Dr. G. Brock Chisholm, first head of World Federation of Mental Health. The pretense is made that to do away with right and wrong would produce uncivilized people, immorality, lawlessness, and social chaos. To do away with right and wrong. The fact is that most psychiatrists and psychologists and other respected people, the white coats, you know, the Milgram experiment white coats, have escaped from moral chains and are able to think freely. You know, the Aldous Huxleys of the world, the George Bernard Shaws, the unreasonable men, the Sigmund Freuds, the Edward Bernays. So here's what's going on that most people don't realize. From chapter 9, for the rare citizen who escapes indoctrination in the new social order, quote-unquote, in progressive schools, for the Bible-believing Christian who rejects theologians, quote-unquote, who teach that socialism is the new kingdom of God on earth, quote-unquote. And, you know, by the way, let me just add parenthetically that I've had conversations recently, one in particular, on the subject of folks throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And there's the issue of three world wars. Albert Pike's letter to Mazzini, three world wars, the third, you know, war outlined in Pike's allegedly spurious letter, fomenting a social cataclysm and a collision of political Zionism and political Islam, with the whole world being drawn into this conflict. And he wrote, disillusion with Christianity, the masses whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, blah, 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 will, you know, point their worship to the pure doctrine of Lucifer, essentially brought finally out into public view. And the companion discussion here is, as I mentioned many times, the Union Jack, the prologue to the Union Jack, published anonymously by Noam de Plume, Helen Peters, back in 1971, talking about the dimension of feigned persecution to, you know, the workers of wrath to fill the whole earth, basically hijacking Christianity, using it as a Trojan horse, essentially, and in the effort of the Third World War, that context, basically, people have been worn out on this counterfeit Christianity. they're getting worn out, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. The bumper sticker, you know, God save me from your people, is the sort of operative concept there. So, you know, just because they're singing Kumbaya on Sunday does not mean that all things are created equal. That's just a, you know, a side note. So briefly, and then we'll go to the phones here in a second, from John Stormer's None Dare Call It Treason, Chapter 9. What's happening? He says, for the rare citizen who escapes indoctrination in the new social order and progressive schools, for the Bible-believing Christian who rejects theologians who teach that socialism is the new kingdom of God on earth, you know, Acts chapter 2, the question I always ask, who decides, right? Is it communism there? No. Who decides? Does man decide, or did the Holy Spirit impress it on their hearts? For all the sturdy souls who hold the two age-old concepts of right and wrong and are vocal about it, which gets back to sentiments expressed on today's broadcast, the collectivists have one final ultimate weapon. Declare them insane. Fantastic? Not at all. Just as in the fields of education, religion, press, radio, and TV, the collectivists have succeeded in infiltrating and twisting the honorable psychiatric and psychological profession to their own ends. The new leaders, quote-unquote, in the psychiatric field propose to re-educate the world's population using psychological procedures to create a new breed of amoral men who will accept a world socialistic government. They hold that the weapon of commitment to a mental institution over the heads of those reactionaries, quote unquote, who rebel at accepting the new social order. It sounds unbelievable. Listen to the words of Dr. G. Brock Chisholm, first head of the World Federation of Mental Health and later head of the World Health Organization of the United Nations. His address, sponsored by William Allenson White Psychiatric Foundation, was delivered October 1945 in Washington, D.C. to a large group of psychiatrists and high government officials. Chisholm said, "What basic psychological distortion can be found in every civilization of which we know anything? What basic psychological distortion can be found? The only What is the underlying, the foundational psychological distortion, according to Chisholm? The only psychological force capable of producing these perversions is morality. The concept of right and wrong, the reinterpretation and eventual eradication of the concept of right and wrong, are the belated objectives of nearly all psychotherapy. If the race is to be freed from its crippling burdens of good and evil, it must be psychiatrists who take the original responsibility." I'm not saying that all psychiatrists and psychologists advocate that, but I am saying to them and to everyone else, this is the sort of underpinnings of the field. Go back and read these guys. And so in the same sense that socialism is extolled as the new freedom, it's going to set man free from want, the political freedom from the chains of, you know, how did Hayek put that? Compulsory servitude, basically. Arbitrary power of other men. You know, that's of no value without socialism and freedom from want. It's the same old Isaiah 5, woe to them who put light for dark, dark for light, good for evil, evil for good. It's that same old discussion. So that's what's happening. That's just the entry point on that discussion. We'll come back to it. To the phones we go. Peter in Chicago, thanks for calling. Pete in Chicago.
Yeah, hey, it's good to hear your program. This is the first time I listened to you, and you're hitting on all these subjects and topics I'd like to talk about, so I had to call it.
Go ahead. Thanks. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, no problem. I'm not going to be like that last guy. I sound like a clown. Anyways, the subject of gaslighting, I'd like to touch on that. A little bit of socialism, and I'm taking postgraduate school in health information management, and I did a report on Venezuela. So I'd like to, I don't know what areas you want to go into, but gaslighting, I can definitely talk about that, because This happened to my girlfriend. She owned a salon, and I witnessed what they tried to do to her. She had a multi-million-dollar salon, and her family were setting her up as a she was bipolar. She had drinking issues, but they were using that to take her salon, to lock her up in a mental institution. And I think they're doing the same thing with, like, legal marijuana, things of that nature, where they're trying to get people labeling them as psychotic or having mental issues like PTSD so they could take their guns. In her case, I got her a good lawyer. I had to bail her out of the mental institution, honestly. We switched her meds because what was happening is her meds and the alcohol was actually making her a little manic, but it wasn't, I mean, she had a multi-million dollar salon. She was a very sharp Jewish Puerto Rican lady, and, you know, she knew what she was doing, but I felt the family, her family members were setting her up. I witnessed gaslighting firsthand. And I think it's a mechanism to steal people's power, to steal their wealth, and to take the guns away. So I don't know what you think about that.
I would agree, and there's much more we could say on that. But, yeah, and all the while, you know, speaking of gaslighting, I mean, speaking of the suicides and, you know, I mentioned earlier this week the New York Times story about Jeremy Richmond's death, Sandy Hook victim's father dies in apparent suicide in Newton, and the line, Sandy Hook thrust Newton into the caustic national debates on gun control and mental health. And you see lines like that. People across America are not running around engaging in caustic debates on gun control and mental health. That doesn't happen at the water coolers and coffee pots. That happens on CNN and Fox News and CBS. And anyway, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
And I don't watch those. Idiot box, my dad used to call it. The other thing is on Venezuela, and I have a little, just I'll make it brief. When I was younger, I was an exchange student in Germany. I got to see what socialism is like at, you know, jackbooted thugs with machine gun nests and barbed wire, you know, concrete blocks. And I went to Checkpoint Charlie as a kid. Like, Ben Putin was running that area. He was head of the KGB. And it was like night and day coming from Chicago, where I went to school. I had a little bit of freedom, and I went over there, and it was like a prison state. So I wrote a report recently about Venezuela, and I went to CIA.gov, and I got a lot of the facts and data. But I mean, there are people eating their pets. They're starving. There's like 3,000% inflation. Maduro is like now bringing in the Russians to protect his regime. Seems like there's a soft coup going on right now with the power going out and all that. But in terms of socialism, anybody that thinks socialism is a good thing, they just need to look at Venezuela. It's like a prison over there. And those people, there are like 300 million people that left that are fleeing to Colombia, all the neighboring states. The birth rates are down. They can't even get insulin, food, because they had no electricity for the last week. Everything's rotten. There's no zoos anymore. All the pets in the zoos are dead. So if anybody says Bernie Sanders is good, just look at Venezuela. It's a perfect example of that type of system.
And, you know, it's not a, you know, you've asked a couple of times what my thoughts are. Multitasking, sorry.
I'm jumping around a lot, but you're hitting on some hot topics. They're good topics.
Yeah, I was just multitasking, so I got that done. One of the things that I want to come back to, and we will, I mentioned it at the outset of today's broadcast, is the subject of hybrid warfare, unconventional warfare, and color revolution are sort of considered the two pillars of hybrid warfare, and you have all kinds of things included in there. But color revolution in particular, I mean, we've seen so much just recently that people don't even know what they're seeing. Arab Spring, Venezuela, you know, echoes of Gene Sharp, Otpor, Canvas, Serta Popovic. It's the same sort of textbook rinse and repeat strategy. And if folks look up unconventional warfare, and you look at those seven steps, for example, seven phases or whatever, then you see these things, what you're talking about, you know, dissatisfaction with political and economic, social, administrative, blah, blah, blah. You foment an atmosphere of wider discontent, and this, you know, brings into the fold the Marxist, you know, Ott Poor canvas, revolutionary fist, you know, workers of the world unite stuff. So up the, as this is starting to bubble beneath the surface, you create provocateurs, increase agitation. There's infiltration. There's a COINTELPRO aspect. There's a lot of propaganda that obviously goes into this. And this is sort of rinse and repeat model the CIA has all but perfected in destabilizing, toppling and replacing governments, or what they call regimes, around the world. And the same forces are at work here in America. It's just softer. But that is, I think,
Somalia's a perfect example of that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's also, you know, an important part of the discussion. When we talk Venezuela, I think we should be talking color revolution and what that portends. And that should, you know, change things in America. That would mean that the CIA would have a much more limited role, if it had a role at all, in United States foreign policy. The John Boltons of the world would probably have to retire to academia or something, or hopefully not, but, you know, it would change our perspective if we had that conversation.
Obama was using the CIA heavy-handedly with Brennan. I mean, you look at everything, you know, with the Arab Spring, like you mentioned, Ukraine, meaning at the end it seemed like there was a coup that was trying to, you know, they were trying to do something in Turkey, and it was right at the end of Obama's 8-year term, and it just kind of fell flat on his face because Erdogan went to Twitter, and he got all the people to basically flip, and they stopped the generals and the people that were trying to create the coup. So, I mean, you look at the Obama administration, he was using the CIA all the time, and he was using it internally as well. I think a lot of those protests down in Missouri, you know, with Trayvon Martin, all that was a psyop. I knew guys that were down there filming stuff. I don't know if you listened to 2007, he was a little rogue on his stuff, but he was down there filming stuff. He was at a church down in Missouri where they were filming. He was there filming and recording everything, and they were teaching protesters what to do. They were leading them like Pied Pipers.
Right.
And a lot of the guys that were protecting their store, they were being marked by FBI snipers across the way. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to help the protesters, and COINTELPRO and all that was heavily involved. So you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, when I think of the CIA, I mentioned many, many times, you know, very often, Ralph McGahee's quote from Deadly Deceits: the CIA is not now, nor has it ever been, a central intelligence agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors. So that really sort of explains it. And then when you see what CIA and JSOC and partners are doing around the world as well, it really, I think, underscores that point.
Yeah, man. Chicago is the belly of the beast, though. I got to tell you, they've taken over this city.
Yeah,
they got a new communist. They had a communist in there for a few years, Emanuel, and now there's two African American women, both very loud.
Yeah.
So
it's always interesting there, and whenever we get a rumbling of it from outside, it's always definitely never a dull moment, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for the show, giving me my voice, and I, you know, I'll tune into you more. Generally, I'm working this hour of the day, but I'll go into your recordings and listen to whatever I can.
Right on. Thanks for the call, Pete. Appreciate it.
All right, bro.
And best to you in Chicago, like you said, belly of the beast. It's long and storied history there. of, you know, deep, deep old school bad guy ties and things that make organized crime look like kids play. Couple of things real fast. Before we close, Clearstream Media had a tweet a couple of days ago about the Rockland situation, and then, you know, digging into the information as they do extremely well, actually going to the facts, CDC, VAERS data, you know, total number of deaths reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, regarding measles, mumps, and rubella between January 2008 and December 2014, 66. And then the comment, even most kindergartners can tell you that 66 is larger than 15, larger number than 15. And that number would represent around only 1% of actual deaths due to vaccinations. Anyway, that's interesting. And a couple of companion pieces. Speaking of the hysteria, you see this, we talk about it, it happens all the time. Here's another example. This article from Detroit Jewish News, immunized young father sick with measles. So he got vaxxed twice, and guess what? It didn't stick. Imagine that. And Mark is embroiled in a controversy, scandal about efficacy fraud. Here is a perfect example. Immunized young father sick with measles. Avi Cohen of Oak Park was confirmed to have measles yesterday night despite receiving MMR shots, plural, twice. So, there you go. And we don't have time to play it, but I would encourage folks, I mean, listen to RBN for sure, but if you have an opportunity, you might... If you're interested in that subject matter, you might give Del Bigtree's broadcast a listen today. He's gonna pick apart Peter Hotez's appearance on Joe Rogan's experience, and that should be interesting. Also, I'll include in the archives, I think I have before, but Cheryl Atkinson's article from January of this year, how a pro-vaccine doctor reopened debate about link to autism. And that's the Andrew Zimmerman story. And Cheryl Atkinson has written extensively on this kind of stuff. No wonder she's not the media darling she was 5-6 years ago. She apparently the establishment doesn't like it when you're honest and you don't just stick to the propaganda line. So I'll include a link from her site, too, to more information on that stuff. Anyway, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can.